This is a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM, so please stay tuned.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Welcome to the Portuguese American Hour. I am Justice Neves. With me, as always, Dennis Borges. Dennis, how you doing?
I am doing great. And how are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good.
Here we are, another edition of the exciting Portuguese American Hour, the place to be between 4 and 5, correct?
Yep, every day, daily dose, 4 to 5.
That's right. All things that are involved with the Portuguese American community and the Portuguese speaking world and the Portuguese culture, we discuss them here and we bring forth as much information as we can about the community, about what's going on at the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University Fresno, and we also bring some music because music is kind of the important for the soul. It's very important for the soul. It's very important for life. It is kind of painting into the soul, as someone has said a long time ago. And so we're going to continue with that soul music of Portugal, the Fado, by a different voice that has not been heard yet here on the Portuguese American Hour. His name is Gonçalo Câmara Ribeiro. He has recorded several albums, and we will be trying to have at least four songs, four different interpretations from Gonçalo Câmara Ribeiro. And again, this is considered the soul music of Portugal, the Portuguese national song, not as in a national anthem, but a song that most Portuguese and Portuguese Americans and those who are of Portuguese background, independently of where they live, they kind of identify with the guitars, the sounds of the guitars, of course, and as well as the unique sound of the voices that interpret this soul music of Portugal. So here is Gonçalo Câmara Ribeiro to kick off this edition of the Portuguese American Hour with a song called Sonho Português, or in English, A Portuguese Dream.
À janela do meu quarto vejo Lisboa. Olho a ponte, os barcos a passar. O Tejo que outrora foi orgulho de um Portugal que eu sempre quis amar. Querida, aquelas luzes são gente muito triste a atravessar. Ao peito vão pendendo as mesmas cruzes em copos difíceis de as suportar. Encosta a tua cara às minhas mãos, tu serás a mãe das minhas filhas, num país onde todos seremos irmãos. Esperaremos a vinda de novas quilhas e então juntos, sem sofrer, abriremos o futuro de mãos dadas. O nosso coração, já sem doer, chorará as águas já cansadas. serás a mãe das minhas filhas. Num país onde todos seremos irmãos, esperaremos a vinda de novas quilhas.
And that was Gonçalo Câmara Ribeiro, a Portuguese fadista, with the song Sonho Português, or Portuguese Dream, as today on the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno. We focus, musically speaking, on fado once again. It has such an important role in the Portuguese music and the history of Portugal, and it's kind of pleasant to listen to different voices. He has a total different interpretation from some of the others that we have listened to in the past. So our first part of our segment on the Portuguese American Hour for today is going to be focused on the Portuguese Oral History Project. The Portuguese Community Oral History Project. As some of our listeners have probably remember, have listened to me talk a little bit about the Portuguese Oral History Project, actually our first program that Justice and I conversed, we talked about that extensively, but have never basically given a complete overview. So it's time that we do that as we begin a new year and a new semester at Fresno State, that we talk a little bit more in depth about the Portuguese Community Oral History Project. So it came together because of a grant that was given to Fresno State, to the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno, to by the Luso-American Development Foundation. Initials are FLAD, F-L-A-D. The Luso-American Development Foundation is in Lisbon. It has its headquarters in Lisbon. It is a foundation, non-profit foundation, set up by the Portuguese and the U.S. government back in the late 80s to basically bring together both societies to offer more opportunities for Portuguese to study in the U.S. and for Portuguese businesses, for Portuguese cultural events, etc., to kind of foster and the Portuguese presence in the United States, whether it be in the East Coast or the West Coast. And also to bring more awareness to American mainstream society of things, all things that are Portuguese, and vice versa, to have American students have a better chance of actually visiting Portugal and doing exchange programs with Portugal, as well as academics, as well as etc. So it has an amalgam of programs. It gives different grants to different organizations for different reasons. We applied for one, and we have a two-year grant. We are in the beginning of the second year of that grant, and part of that is for the Portuguese Community Oral History Project. So last year, the first year of the grant, we were able to put forth a seminar with training of community members, community leaders that wanted to take part in this and wanted to learn a little bit more and do their own collection of oral histories. We have done one community forum. It was held in September of last year in the city of Tulare in the South Valley. We have two planned for this semester at different areas as well, including the North Valley. And we have collected orally through community volunteers, through also some students, for my Portuguese 1B class from last semester, through some of them that I've done myself. We have about anywhere between, we have a few of them that the sound is not as great, so we have to maybe redo a couple of them, but we're talking close to 40 history collections that we've done, 40 different interviews that have been done. The students also last semester, besides doing the recording, also had to write a term paper, a small term paper on it. And these papers are being published on a monthly basis by the only Portuguese American newspaper that we have in California, whose director we've had on the show before, the Portuguese Tribune, Tribuna Portuguesa. And this newspaper has agreed, we have a MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding, with the Portuguese Tribune, with the Tribuna Portuguesa, for them to publish once a month one of the stories in a segment called Legacy. And so we have already published two of those stories. We're counting on publishing at least another 10 for this year. So besides the oral history project being something that will be archived at the Henry Madden Library, it will also be put forth to the community at various venues. We have a community forum actually coming up on April the 2nd. I'll be talking about that in another month or so. But we will also be publishing some of these stories, and hopefully we'll be publishing some of them in a book form in as time progresses. But I think that what I'd like to spend a little bit of time on with our listeners and by the way, if you have any questions, please get a hold of me anytime. You can ask, actually get a hold of us here on the Multicultural Radio. You can call us at, what is it again,
559? 559-499-1600.
Correct. So during the show, if you'd like to get a hold of us, 499-1600 with the 559 area code. And we can actually answer those questions for you as well. So the oral history defined, basically, oral history is a process for recording and for preserving first-hand information in a structured interview setting and making the story available to others. It is also, oral history must be evaluated considering its strengths and, of course, its weaknesses. Each interview is a snapshot of a period or event, and it's shared based on the individual's memory of those events, those his or her biases, and, of course, other influences. So the oral history is, as I mentioned, a systematic collection and recording of personal memories as historical documentation. And that's exactly what we're doing. So all of the interviews follow the same pattern. So if I'm interviewing Justice, or if I'm interviewing someone, a dairyman in Hanford, or a public figure in Fresno, anyone who I am interviewing who is of Portuguese background, the questions would be basically the same. Now, the person's answer sometimes will elicit another question because if something's not cleared. But the questions are the same. So it is, in a sense, it is a form of storytelling that involves eyewitness accounts and reminiscences. So there's a little bit of a bias. People are obviously giving it from their own take. At its best, it recovers and preserves important aspects of human life that would otherwise go undocumented. And that is the main reason, one of the main reasons why we are doing what we're doing at Fresno State through the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute with the Community Oral History Project. The Portuguese don't have their story told anywhere. There are, thanks to the newspapers that have existed and still exist, the only one now, as I mentioned, the Tribuna Portuguesa, the Portuguese Tribune. But throughout the latter part of the 1800s and throughout the 1900s, throughout the 20th century, we've had several different newspapers. And sometimes some of the stories were registered, but obviously not of everyone. So this is the way to preserve this history, a history of the Portuguese presence in the Central Valley, which dates back basically to the 1860s, late 1860s, beginning of the 1870s. So indeed, the Portuguese presence here in the Valley has been a long presence of at least 135 years and sometimes even more. Many people who are now living of fourth and fifth generations, many of the young people, it was their great-grandfather or their great-great-grandfather that came at one time from Portugal and mainly from the islands of the Azores. So although, unfortunately, we lost a lot of those stories, but maybe their children or their grandchildren will remember some of those and can go ahead and put those forth now. It should have been done. Yes, it should have started to be done about 30 or 40 years ago. But again, just for our listening audience, as far as the academy is concerned, the academics are concerned, oral history, as was recently discussed in a wonderful podcast that if you get a chance to listen to it, that Dean Michelle Denbeste, who was the Dean of the College of Social Science, put forth and was gracious enough to invite me as one of the guests, but there are other professors on there who are specialists in oral history, and it's a wonderful podcast to know exactly kind of where oral history came from and how it has evolved over, especially over the last two decades or so. So about 30 or 40 years ago, the academic world wasn't looking a lot at oral history as much as it has been evolving in the last, I would say, 20 to 30 years at the maximum. And while oral history is not always the best method for collecting statistical data, because it's far surpasses any other capturing of the significance and meaning associated with people, places, and experiences. And so that is basically what we're focusing on. So we're not focusing on data as you know, there were, you know, 500 people that came from this island and they went to this city and they, and 20% did this and 10% did that. So we're looking at personal stories, and everyone has a story. A lot of times people, when I first approach them about, you know, collecting their oral history, the 9 out of 10 times what I hear, maybe I'm being a little bit overstating that, but I would say at least 7 out of 10 times is, I don't know if I want to do it because I don't really have a story. But everyone has a story. And it's good to tell everyone that is listening that as far as the Portuguese oral history goes and what we're doing at Fresno State through PPBI, it's not just the immigrants, because although we still have a very strong immigrant community that immigrated 30, 40, 50 years ago, many of them are elderly, and some of them were not as elderly, but most of the immigrants who now live or who came to California during the last exodus from the Azores are now in they're over 55, let's put it this way, and many of them in their 70s and 80s, especially those who came as adults. Now children, that's different. Some of them are just in their 50s now, but those who came as adults obviously are in their 70s and 80s, late 60s, 70s and 80s. And so it is important that we capture everybody's story, not just those who immigrated, but also those who were born here, mm-hmm. but know a little bit about their family upbringing, whether they were completely assimilated or whether they did their own thing. You know, the Portuguese American presence in the valley and throughout the state of California, from our perspective at Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute and this Portuguese American Oral History Project, is that it did not end with immigration. So there is a story to be told by those who were born here, whether it was their parents, their grandparents, or even their great-grandparents that immigrated. There's always some kind of a story that we would like to register. And so we invite everyone. It's not just for certain people. We invite everyone that is willing to tell their story to get a hold of me, and or to get a hold of some of the volunteers that we have. We've had a couple of them here on the Portuguese American Hour. I'm thinking of Kathy Mendes Gully was our mm-hmm. guest here. We're hoping to have Danielle Mello, who is a teacher at Kerman High School, who's a volunteer who's done lots of work in this field as well, as our guests soon. And we've had others also that have been our guests here. So there's some community volunteers. We're trying to get, obviously, the Portuguese American organizations on board. That is important. That was the reason for the community forum in Tulare, and we are hoping to have it in other communities as well, because it would be interesting for the organizations to also have a voice in this. And we are, of course, going to have our students heavily involved, not just those who are taking Portuguese, but this semester, for example, Professor Guzman is teaching a oral history project, and hopefully there are some of his students who are interested in collecting some oral histories of the Portuguese community in the valley. So we'll take a short break here in just a few seconds, but then when we come back, we'll continue talking a little bit more about, this is our major focus for today, about the Oral History Project, give you a little bit more detail about it. And again, if you do have any questions, please do give us a call at 559-499-1600. We could put you on the air, or we could answer the phone off the air as long as we're during a commercial break or a song. So again, That's 559-499-1600. If you have any questions regarding the Portuguese American Oral History Project put forth by the by PBBI, Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno. And we'll be right back with the second segment of the Portuguese American Hour.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And welcome back to the Portuguese American Hour. If you missed our first segment, we're about to head into our second segment. We were talking about the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute and the Oral History Project they have going on.
Correct. And we give a little bit of a synopsis of what we're doing, why we're doing, what is oral history. And we're going to continue talking about this. This is our focus for this edition of the Portuguese American Hour. But we also like to listen to some music and have our listeners also take advantage of listening to some Portuguese music. So our musical invitee for this edition of the Portuguese American Hour here on KGST, Multicultural Radio for the Valley and the World, is Gonçalo Câmara Ribeiro. He is a Portuguese fadista. A fadista, as I've mentioned before, is a fado singer. It's how we identify them, a fadista, whether it be a fadista for a lady or a man. And we're going to listen to a song called Canção da Minha Vida, or Song of My Life, another fado by Gonçalo Câmara Ribeiro. And then afterwards, we'll continue talking about the Portuguese Oral History Project.
Guitarra, minha amiga, amiga como ninguém. Se canto, cantas comigo. Se choras, choro eu também. A minha tristeza pese na tua alegria. Não quero que a minha noite ponha sombras no teu dia. Não chores porque a má sorte também tem sua medida. Do nascer até à morte vai apenas uma vida. Amor que passa não volta, e se volta não passou. Amor que volta não passa, e se passa não voltou. Porque sou pecador, dizem que o fado é pecado. Deixem falar, é mentira. Ser pecador é que é fado. Guitarra, minha amiga, amiga como ninguém. canto, cantas comigo. Se choras, choro eu também. Se canto, cantas comigo. Se choras, choro.
The wonderful guitars of the Portuguese fado. I could listen to the guitars just about all day long. Just as a sing
that's,
as well.
That's for sure. The strings, that's what gets me every time with these songs.
Yeah.
The strings are absolutely beautifully done.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you like it, and I hope our listeners do as well. That was Canção da Minha Vida, the singer, the fadista Gonçalo Câmara Ribeiro. Look him up if you're interested in listening to a little bit more of him. Canção da Minha Vida, which means Song of My Life, kind of appropriate because we're talking about Portuguese oral history, and people have to share their life if they want to be recorded.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, that's kind of a question that folks have, you know, I don't want to share some personal stuff. Obviously, you don't. You share whatever you need to share. We want you to share basically your experience as either a Portuguese immigrant to the Valley or a Portuguese American, the first, second, third, even fourth generation in the Valley. So oral history helps us round out the story of the past because, for example, if we take a history book about the Portuguese, about the history of the Valley, there's not a lot being written. Historians are doing a much better job of that, as we, you know, as through obviously all the work that's being done at various levels at Fresno State and other universities as well in the Valley. But if you want to know about the history of the Valley, lots of times there's nothing, or maybe just a small little paragraph I've read some different things where there's maybe 15 or 20 pages about the different aspects of the history of the Valley, and there may be a small little paragraph about the Portuguese. So it helps us round out the story of the past by giving us a first-hand account of either what it was like to be a Portuguese immigrant to the Valley, whether you came in the 1950s or 60s or 70s, or even a few immigrants in the 80s, and a couple of them since then, but immigration has ceased dramatically changed, especially in the last 30 years. But every year we seem to have one or two families, but not more than that, come from the Azores to the Valley. And how your life was as a Portuguese American. So it gives us that personal aspect. Oral history helps us understand how individuals and communities experience the forces of history. And this is very important because what someone might, of Portuguese ancestry, might tell me when I do a recording of their history may be totally different than someone of another ethnicity or someone of another race or someone of another with other experiences. So it's kind of, you know, when there is the history of California in general, this gives it a little bit more of a specific, and it kind of rounds off the experiences, and it kind of sometimes questions some of the status quo in historical information as well. Oral history teaches us what has changed and what has stayed the same over time, and this has been really fascinating with the recordings that I've done, and hopefully it has been fascinating for some of the volunteers. They've told me that themselves. And also some of the students shared that as well. It really teaches us what has changed and what has stayed the same over time. I recalled an interview I had with a young man who is now 94 years old, and I've talked about him before, Mr. George Lemon, and some of the things that he told me about the Portuguese-American community in the South Valley, in the Tulare County area, especially of the 1930s and 40s. Some of it are totally different than what we are experiencing obviously today because of modernity, but some of it not really. Even though we're in modern times, some of the things, some of the issues that he talked about that he felt existed in the 1930s and 40s in the Portuguese American community and even 1950s, still we are grasping and dealing with them today as well. So it tells us, you know, how some things have changed, but how some things have not as well. And oral history preserves for future generations a sound portrait of who we are in the present and what we remember about the past. So sometimes in order to know who we are now, we need to know a little bit more about who we were. And not necessarily us, but who our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents were and some of the things that they went through. And so it is a way to preserve for future generations that portrait, not just for the family, but in this case, since it's going to be archived at the Henry Madden Library at Fresno State, also for future generations as well, not just so as a personal history. And I would invite, as Kathy Mendes-Gully, one of our people that we've interviewed, interviewees that we had here, talked about the oral history and her book that she published about her own family. You may, if you don't want to do this to be part of what we are doing at the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University of Fresno, but if you would like to do it just for a family, I would encourage you to do so, because it is something that I will guarantee you that future generations will thank you for it. So, as far as our collective Portuguese-American presence in the Valley and throughout the state, what we're trying to do is, of course, individual stories. That's what we've been focusing on the last, since we had the workshop in late July, early August, so basically the last 4 to 6 months. But we are breaking it down to different categories because we'd like to reach all of these different categories. So the Portuguese immigrant history, so the Portuguese immigrant story, as I mentioned, those who came from there, those are being done in English if people speak English. Those who don't speak English, it can also be done in Portuguese. We can also get them transcribed in different languages. So we can do it in Portuguese as well. We'd like to actually do that because the language is not the same language that it was 30 years ago as far as the presence of it in the Valley. 30 years ago, the families communicated lots in Portuguese. Now we communicate lots more in English. So from the Portuguese immigrant experience, whether you can do it in Portuguese or English, or your parents or your grandparents, contact us if it's not in your case, but if you're listening to the Portuguese American Hour and you'd like to have your parents or your grandparents interview, contact me, please. The Valley narrative from a Portuguese-American perspective, this is important, too. I mentioned, you know, the history of the Valley is being written, but there very, very, very little is do we know about the Portuguese presence. So have the Valley narrative from the Portuguese-American perspective as well. The Portuguese-American presence in agriculture, this is huge. The Portuguese have really dedicated themselves in the world of agriculture and the world of dairying, especially when they first came over, those who came in the 1800s, those who came in the beginning of the 20th century up until about 1921, when immigration kind of ceased from Portugal. But then when it took up again, and especially some families in the late 40s and early 50s, but most of it after the Capelinhos volcano in the island of Faial, so after 1957-58, then that was the next exodus of immigration from the Azores to the Valley. So the first jobs that lots of people had, whether those that came in the 1800s or beginning of the 1900s, or those who came in the late 20th century, mid to late 20th century, it was agriculture, because you didn't speak the language, but you could always get a job milking cows. You didn't have to really speak English to milk cows or to feed cows or to work in the land. And so our presence has been huge, because not only did we come like other ethnic groups and got involved in agriculture, but then some of us stayed in that field and became, of course, the owners and managers and involved in what today is a totally different business than what it was 50 years ago, and certainly 100 years ago or 140 years ago. So the presence of the Portuguese in agriculture is huge, and we really need to, whether even if those who are no longer in agriculture but their parents might have been, we need to register that as well. The Portuguese-American festivals and cultural activities, and that's a segment that we're going to begin in the next few months. We're going to be interviewing people not just for their personal story, but we're going to be interviewing them for the cultural organizations from a cultural aspect as far as the Portuguese organizations are concerned. So whether we can still get some of those who started the organizations or some of those who spent 15, 20, we have folks who've dedicated 20, 25 years of their life to different Portuguese-American organizations, and some of them to the same organization, and we would like to register that aspect as well. That's something that, as I mentioned, we would will probably start in the next couple of months, 2 to 3 months. The teaching of the Portuguese language, and so we need to also register the presence of the Portuguese language at our schools, whether it be elementary, high school, community schools. The Portuguese American Associations, as I've mentioned, not just the cultural associations, but we have all kinds of organizations that promote not only culture, but the, for example, in Tulare, we have the Tularangrense Athletic Club, which is a sports club. In Hailmar, also there's a sports club. In Turlock, other areas as well. The Portuguese language, the linguistic history, and this is a little bit different. This is why it's important that we register many interviews and as many as we can still in Portuguese. Because the Portuguese spoken today will certainly be different from the Portuguese that will be spoken 25, 30, or 40 years from now. Languages are not static. Languages evolve. And some of the folks who immigrated from the Azores, let's say 40 or 50 years ago, their linguistic expressions are different than what it is today in the Azores. They still have a Portuguese like it was spoken in some of the rural villages of the Azores 40 or 50 years ago, and then lots of them adapted what we call Portuguese American words or Portinglish, words that will certainly die with this generation of Portuguese Americans who still speak Portuguese, because now if their sons and daughters don't speak Portuguese, and the new immigration coming from Portugal doesn't speak that Portuguese, so we need to register that history before it also disappears from our communities. And the role of the Catholic Church in the Portuguese American community, that has been huge. It served many purposes, social purposes, cultural purposes, religious, obviously. And so the role of the Catholic Church and the Portuguese American community, also with interviews with some of the, not just the priests, but some of those who have been involved in the church as well. Portuguese Americans in public service and in professional organizations, not just in agriculture, but in other fields, as we have had a rich history of Portuguese Americans serving in a public history, whether, for example, here from the Valley, we have two Portuguese American congressmen. It's the only region of in the valley that we have two Portuguese American congressmen from the same area, right next to each other. And we have many Portuguese Americans who have served also in other capacities and continue to serve at a local level, supervisors, state level, etc. And of course, building bridges with other community oral history projects. This is huge for us. There are many other oral history projects going on in Fresno in the Central Valley. For example, as I mentioned, Professor Guzman is doing a project on the history of the soccer, of the football, in the Valley. And obviously the Portuguese contributed to that, so we have to be part of that project as well. There are other projects going on, for example, projects of the related to migrants and related also to agricultural workers. The Portuguese have been agricultural workers for many years, and we were basically a heavy presence in milking cows as milkers, as workers in the dairies, especially in the 1950s, 60s, and early to late 70s. So that has to be registered as well. So why not work with those folks who are doing the agricultural workers oral history project, and as well as the LGBTQ community. There is a strong presence here in Fresno that of the oral history that is collecting the history of those folks, and also we would like to partner up with them and have the history of the Portuguese American in that Portuguese Americans in that community as well. So there's lots of work to be done. When we come back from our second and final break, we'll just kind of wrap up this bits about the Portuguese oral history. I want to thank all of you who are listening to the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute Portuguese American Hour here on KGST, Multicultural Radio for the Valley, because and give us the opportunity to talk about this very important part of who we are at Fresno State and what we are trying to do, because it really is bringing the community to the university and vice versa and preserving the Portuguese culture in the Valley. We'll be right back.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the Valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And welcome back to the Portuguese American Hour as we enter our final segment here.
That's right, our third and final segment.
Our third and final. And if you're just joining us now, we've been talking about the oral history project going on with the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute, kind of explaining what an oral history project even is, the importance of it and whatnot. And before we move on, I just wanted to throw my little 2 cents in
there. Please do. You can even throw in 4 cents or five.
thank you, Dennis. it is very, it's extremely important to understand where we came from, just from a cultural aspect, a personal aspect, that you really need to understand who your family were and who, honestly, even you were before you began living this life that you're in.
Sure.
It is something that is very important and something that needs to be preserved as we move forward, because, you know, with the way technology works nowadays, it wasn't like that back then. And like you said, a lot of these stories go unrecorded, and it's something that is absolutely necessary to preserve any aspect of your culture.
I agree. And I think that sometimes we don't know sometimes we act the way we act. And then if we know how the culture is, how our family history has been, how things were, you know, with our forefathers, whether it was our grandfather or great grandfather, if we know some of these aspects, we say, well, okay, well, there it is, you know. I'm not a lone wolf, you know. Yeah, there's been a story here.
In a way, it can even help you understand yourself more, yeah, understanding your past, knowing what's going on there. So
Yeah, I don't think we need to be a prisoner of the past, and that's not what the Oral History Project wants to do. It's not for us to be a prisoner of the past, but the past is essential for us to understand what's going on to the future. You know, sometimes you need to understand that in order to break away from something, even if it's something negative, because you know, not everything in the world is positive. But it's good to know. It gives you a sense of feeling that now I understand why it is the way it is. Yeah.
Or even just how you got to this point.
Correct. Is, yeah,
is
yeah.
The biggest thing.
It didn't happen, you know, all of a sudden.
Yeah, it wasn't sporadic. There was a long build up to it.
There is. And so as we end that part of our, that we've dedicated, I know, to long segments to it, and I thank the listeners for listening to it, and I thank you, Justice, for adding that, because that's important. I believe that it is a worthwhile project. I would hope that we would have, of course, it's always, I don't know every Portuguese person in the Valley. I wish I did. You know, there's at least in the Central Valley, you know, according to the census, you know, there's probably, what, about 70 or 80,000 in this area, just in this area. And so I don't know every one of them. I know a couple thousand of them, but that's just a very small percentage. And so I think that we need our listeners to help. So please do let us know. Please do get a hold of me. Many different ways. You can get a hold of me through email. That's one of the best ways, which is dborges@mail.fresnostate.edu. Again, dborges@mail.fresnostate.edu. I'm also on social media, so you can look me up either on Facebook or on Instagram. I don't do Twitter as much as I should, maybe, or maybe I shouldn't, because it takes a lot of time, but I don't do Twitter as much, but I am on it. I don't check it as often. You know, get a hold of me. Email is usually the best bet, or actually through my cell phone. I don't mind giving it out. It's 559-280-2871. That's again 559-280-2871. And I'll give it in future programs so folks can have it as well. If you do social media, if you do Facebook, we are always posting things about the Portuguese American Hour. Just about every day we have a post. And there's lots of different contacts available there as well. So please do consider telling your history of your family, of yourself, if you know about your grandparents, or if you don't, you know, it is a needed project that we need everyone to participate. It's a unique opportunity. Again, I'm going to repeat myself, but we should have maybe done this 25 or 30 years ago. But as we say in Portuguese, you can't cry over spilt milk. the milk is gone. It's gone. So now we basically have to get our nose to the grindstone, as also is said in English, and we need to register as many stories as possible. So that is what we wanted to cover today, mostly. We are going to continue with our music segment. Enough talking. So let's listen to Gonçalo Câmara Ribeiro, our invitee for this edition of the Portuguese American Hour on the Multicultural Radio, 1600 AM. Again, remember, all of you, that you can get a hold of your friends, not just here in the Valley, but in Northern, Southern California, or those who would like to know about the Portuguese presence in California and other states or in other parts of the world, because it can be listened to on any on the radio apps. And, of course, live streaming www.multicultural1600am.com. Our singer, Gonçalo Ribeiro, is going to come back and sing for us É Noite de Santo António. Santo António, Saint Anthony, is one of the most popular saints in the Portuguese idiosyncrasy, and his day is celebrated with lots of festivities throughout Portugal. So it is, in English, the Saint Anthony Nights, or É Noite de Santo António, fadista Gonçalo Câmara Ribeiro.
António, estalam foguetes no ar, ouve as marchas de Lisboa que andam pela rua a passar. Anda, anda, vem também cantar e dar ao pé, descer pela avenida e subir para Alfama a Sé. Lisboa, cidade antiga de varinas e marinheiros, Lisboa, cidade amiga de amálias e marceneiros. No ar andam cantigas, um cheirinho a manjerico e a cravos, e no mar uma saudade de ver partir de novo os bravos. É noite de Santo António, estalam foguetes no ar, ouve as marchas de Lisboa que andam pela rua a passar. Anda, anda, vem também cantar e dar ao pé, descer pela avenida e subir para Alfama a Sé. Roupa a corar na janela, toda branca de guilhotina, e mesmo por baixo dela um marujo de negra botina. Assobia uma cantiga com sabor a sal e a mar, espera que alguém lhe diga: anda daí, vem bailar. É noite de Santo António, estalam foguetes no ar, ouve as marchas de Lisboa que andam pela rua a passar. Anda, anda, vem também cantar e dar ao pé, descer pela avenida e subir por Alfama a Sé. António, estalam foguetes no ar, ouve as marchas de Lisboa que andam pela rua a passar. Anda, anda, vem também cantar e dar ao pé, descer pela avenida e subir por Alfama a Sé.
And here we are back with our absolute last segment of the Portuguese American Hour. As we are in the last 10 minutes of programming, we will end with one more song so you can appreciate another one more time the voice of Gonçalo Ribeiro. But we'd like to talk a little bit about some of the upcoming events. That's always a service that we do here on the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at Fresno State. So if your organization, if you are part of a Portuguese American organization in the Valley and you'd like to have the event put forth here on our calendar, our community calendar, please get a hold of me again. Best way is through email, one more time, dborges@mail.fresnostate.edu, or 559-280-2871. You can text me, 559-280-2871. Some of the events that we have coming up, from what my understanding is, the event that we've been promoting here for the last few weeks, which is actually for the last month or so, which is the crab dinner as a way to fundraise for the Tulare Festa, is sold out. So that is wonderful that event is sold out. Congratulations to the TDES in Tulare for another sold-out event. And thanks to all of you who, of course, have bought your tickets away, not just to enjoy some crab, but also to sponsor and to help all in the different events that will be coming up with the Tulare Portuguese Festa in June. The other event that we've already spoken about as well, and it's coming up here very, very shortly on February the 8th, the Tulare Angra Sister City Foundation will have the annual soup extravaganza with four different Portuguese soups. Our guest here just recently, president of the Tulare Angra Sister City Foundation, Carmen Pinheiro, we had a rather long interview of about 15 or 20 minutes that we spoke to Carmen about this event. So we gave you all the details, but once again to remind you, that is coming up on February the 8th. If you'd like tickets, get a hold of any Tulare Angra Sister City Foundation member. And again, the proceeds from this event will be for Fresno State, for the exchange program, for a specific reason, the exchange program that we have between the Jordan College of Agricultural Science and Technology and the University of the Azores in Terceira, in the island of Terceira, Terceira campus, which is heavily ag-related. So we have an exchange program. Last year, we had three students from Fresno State that did a one-month internship in the Azores. And just in a few days, actually next week, at the end of next week, we will have five students coming from the Azores, and we're hoping to have them as guests here in the Portuguese American Hour. They will be attending Fresno State. They'll be doing a one-month internship here at the university. Five of them from the Terceira campus of the University of the Azores will be here. And these events, like this soup festival put forth by the Tulare Angra Sister City Foundation, is a way to raise funds for this exchange program, which obviously, as you know, is costly. But we have some sponsors. We have, of course, the Sister City Foundation as well helping out. Because the students actually do get their airline ticket and their expenses paid for, whether those going to the Azores or vice versa. And on February the 12th, put that down on your calendar, please, at the university here at Fresno State. We have a lecture, our first lecture, which is Agriculture in the Azores by the Director of Agriculture for the Government of the Azores. His name is José Elio Ventura. He will be attending the World Ag Expo, the Farm Show in Tulare, for 3 days. And on the 12th, he will be in Fresno at the university to give a talk about agriculture in the Azores. It's at 6 o'clock. The entrance is free. It's at the Agricultural Department Lecture Hall. Everyone is invited to attend at 6 p.m. The presentation will be about 35 to 40 minutes, and then the Director of Agriculture will spend about 15 to 20 minutes answering any questions that anyone has, and also some time to socialize and get to know him a little bit. So he will be here on February the 12th at Fresno State. We will be with him at the World Ag Expo in Tulare. The Portuguese American Hour will be at the World Ag Expo. The World Ag Expo has given us a credential as a radio show to be there. And so we will be doing hopefully some interviews and maybe some interviews that we can play at a later time here on the Portuguese American Hour. So February the 12th, agriculture in the Azores, some of the challenges, some of the opportunities given by the director, someone who knows agricultural very well in the Azores. He comes from an ag family. He is an ag major. He is also has been working in ag-related in governments and ag policy since 1994, so for a long time. He is a young man. He's 51 years old, and he is the director of agriculture for the government of the Azores, and a lecture that we're excited about on February the 12th, Wednesday, February the 12th. There are also other upcoming events in February. We have our anniversary lecture on February the 19th. There are two events coming up in March. There are three events coming up in April. There's one event coming up in May. So lots of different things. Put those in your calendar. And again, those of you who have sons or daughters or nephews or cousins or anyone in your family that is a high school senior, do remember that the Cabrillo Club and the Tulare County Cabrillo Club has scholarships. So for more information, go online, cabrilloclub.org, and get all that information. And please, please, please do remind your high school seniors to apply for it. Nothing like free money, right, Justice? Free money is always important when you're going to school.
Always welcomed. Yes. Always.
That's right. So it's not a lot. I mean, it is a lot of money to me. It's $500 scholarship. So
hey, even if it's just a few books, that's going to help.
That's right. That's true. sure is. So, Justice, I think we're upon the end of this edition of the Portuguese American Hour, Daily Dosage, a new way to know all that's going on in the Portuguese American community here every day, Monday through Friday. Thank you, Justice, for your help, for being with us.
Thank you.
And thank you all for being on the this edition of the Portuguese American Hour. We hope to see you next time, and we're going to end it with another song by our friend Gonçalo Ribeiro, and he will be saying goodbye for us, musically speaking. Again, thank you for joining us. This has been another edition of the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno. See you next time. Thank you for listening.
Barrete sobre a orelha, cinta vermelha bem apertada, e ao alto firme o pampilho quando o novilho foge à manada. Com o colete encarnado, jaqueta e meia branca, campinos, touros e fados, peras de gado em Vila Franca. Oh, terras do Ribatejo, cheias de sol e alegria, oh, gente sem ambições, que dá lições de valentia. Oh, terras de Vila Franca, onde tanta e tanta vez, sem temer uma colhida, se arrisca a vida com altivez. Lavrador de samarra e uma guitarra bem dedinhada, campinos de manhã cedo, firmes sem medo sobre a montada. E se uma pega valente, ninguém da praça os arranca. Vibra a gente entusiasmada numa tourada em Vila Franca. Oh, terras do Ribatejo, cheias de sol e alegria, oh, gente sem ambições, que dá lições de valentia. Oh, terras de Vila Franca, onde tanta e tanta vez, sem temer uma colhida, se arrisca a vida com altivez.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
This was a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM.